Hey, everybody. This is Jamie Nunley, lead pastor of Victory Fellowship Church. Thanks for listening to the VFC Sermon Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download our free VFC Thomasville app, where you can access all of our messages, sermon notes, announcements, and small group lessons. This app is the easiest way to keep up with everything going on here at VFC. So please enjoy the following sermon. We hope it encourages you in your walk with Jesus and helps you to belong, believe, and become. Enjoy. Hey, once again, thanks for listening to the VFC podcast. If you live in the Thomasville area, we would love for you to connect with us in person. For more information about our weekly gatherings, including service times and directions, just visit us at vfcthomasville.org. Hey, once again, thanks for listening to the VFC podcast. If you live in the Thomasville area, we would love for you to connect with us in person. For more information about our weekly gatherings, including service times and directions, just visit us at vfcthomasville.org. Called Elephants in the Room, where we talk about tough topics and sensitive subjects. I'm really excited about this morning's sermon because I genuinely feel like the Lord is going to reveal himself in a new way to many of you. And so I'm really pumped about this. We're going to tackle the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever thought that before? Why does this world stink so much, right? We're going to talk about that. Before I get to it, I want to remind you, next Sunday, we have water baptisms. If you've never been baptized since becoming a believer, we're going to have a big old pool set up right here. Not like a real pool, a baptismal pool. So don't bring your swimming trunks. And we're in between services. We're going to baptize people. And I encourage you, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. If that's something that God says to do, you should do it, all right? It's a good thing to go public with your faith. Why do bad things happen to good people? There is actually a problem with this question. The problem with the question is that there are no good people, right? Sorry, does that offend you? There are no good people. Why do bad things happen to good people? There's this underlying assumption of entitlement that because I am a good person, nothing bad should ever happen to me. But are we good people? The problem with this question is that if we view the problem of evil through the lens of our goodness, we will see ourselves as victims. We are victims of bad things happening because we're so good. But if we see the evil in this world through the lens of God's goodness, we'll be victors. Because he's the one in charge and he's the one that can right all wrongs. You see the difference? So why bad things happen, let's not view it through our own goodness, because that's not very good. Let's view it through God's goodness, and we won't be victims, we'll be victors. Now, as we talk about this morning, before we even get started, there's something, these are foundational truth we have to all agree on. And I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. And this is, if we don't get this right, it's just like the foundation of a house. If we don't get this right, we won't get anything else right. Because this is the most important thing to understand, and it's this, that Scripture tells us that God is good. Scripture tells us that God is good. Now, here's the deal. If you've grown up in church, it's almost kind of like this reflex where everyone goes, where someone says, God's good, and everyone goes, yeah, that's right, or all the time, and all the time. See, y'all been trained already. It's true, but it needs to be more than a reflex. It needs to be something we genuinely believe, and we don't just believe, but we live as if it were true. It's one thing to think in your mind, I think God's good. It's another thing to walk around all day acting like he's good, right? So we need to get this deep down into our hearts. The book of James talks about the implanted word of God. The implanted word of God, what does that mean? The implanted word of God is the word of God that's gone from your head to your heart, and now you live it. That's how you implant the word of God. It's not just understanding with your mind, it's belief with your heart, and that belief compels you to live a certain way. That's the implanted word. So let's look at what Scripture says really quickly. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." James chapter 1, 16 through 17, it says, "Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters." All right, now hold on. When the Bible says, "Don't be misled," another translation says, "Don't be deceived," that means Scripture is about to address a topic where you're going to have a tendency to get it wrong. Don't be deceived. There's deception out there regarding this topic. Don't be misled. People will try to mislead you regarding this topic, okay? So this is a big red flag, okay? Caution light. Don't be misled. Here we go. What does it say? "Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. He created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." Now, wait a minute. All of a sudden, he's talking about lights and shifting shadows. What? What is James talking about here? Well, what he's saying, he's drawing a parallel between the lights in the heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars, and God's faithfulness. I don't know if you know this or not, but this morning, something incredible happened. The sun came up. We're so used to it, you probably didn't even think anything about it. Of course the sun came up. It does every day, right? Well, guess what? That's what God's goodness is like. It's so constant. It's just like the sunrise. It's just like the sunset. It's just like the moon. Sure, there are different phases. Sure, sometimes you can't see it as well as you had hoped you would, but it's always there. It's always there. That's what James is telling us. Look, don't be misled. Don't be deceived. God is good. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe," all right, we're going to be told two things, all right, here's the first one. "He who comes to God must believe that he is." How do you believe that God exists? Congratulations, you've met half of the requirements to make God happy. Half. You're halfway there. You're living on a prayer, okay? Tommy and Gina would agree. All right. So he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. See, it's not just enough to believe that God exists. The book of James also says the demons believe that. But we have to believe that God exists and he is a rewarder. He is good. He's good. It says, without this faith, these two things, it's impossible to please God. You want to make God happy? Believe that he exists and believe that he's good. That makes him happy. Well, what about my circumstances? We'll get to that in a moment. But our foundation is that we have to believe that God is good. Psalm 27, verse 13. The psalmist says, "I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I would have lost heart. You ever lost heart? You ever just felt down, depressed, despondent, despair? Man, God, life stinks, right? You ever just been like that before? Well, that's what this psalmist is saying. He's like, I would have lost heart. I would have felt bad. I would have walked through life without any purpose or meaning if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's not talking about heaven. See, we all, believers, we believe that when we die, we're going to go be with Jesus, right? Anyone looking forward to that? I am. It's going to be awesome. But that's not what gives us complete hope now. It's a hope for the future, but hope now is that we'll see God's goodness, not just then, but in the land of the living right now. Whatever you're going through, wherever you work, whatever's going on in your marriage, whatever's going on with your family, that you see his goodness now. And if you don't train your mind to see God's goodness now in the land of living, you'll lose heart. You'll lose hope, and you'll become a victim of the world around you. We have to believe that God is good. When life is bad, God is good. Don't get mad at God during times of pain. Run to God during times of pain. Isn't that fun? Isn't that great? Don't we all feel great now? Except, what about all the bad stuff? What about all the pain? What about all the disappointments? What about when people hurt us? What about when disaster strikes? What about calamity and catastrophe and cancer and car wrecks and COVID? We believe God is good, and we I just showed it to you multiple times in Scripture, and that was just a small amount of Scripture that says that God is good. But what about all the stuff around us that's going crazy? I think that's a valid question. And I think as the church, we shouldn't be, don't ask that. No, God's good. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say, yeah, let's talk about it, and let's go to Scripture and see what it says. Now, why doesn't God stop all of the bad stuff from happening? I mean, seriously, that's a great question. If God is all powerful, why doesn't he just stop bad things from happening? I want to submit it's two reasons, and they're found in the Scriptures that we already read. There are two reasons why God doesn't just stop bad stuff from happening. And the first one, and this is going to sound a little weird to you, but the first reason is that God is love. Wait a minute. If God is love, why would he let me hurt? Here's why. Because love does what's best for the other person. Love does what's best for the other person. And God loves his children, and he does what's best for us. And what's best for us is to let us feel pain sometimes. Think about this. Imagine you're walking down the sidewalk and you don't have shoes on. And you step on a nail. Oh, some of you were like, oh. Maybe I hit a nerve with that one, okay. You step on a nail. Now, if you feel pain, what are you going to do? Scream out in pain. Might say a bad word. But then you're going to go to the doctor, and you're going to get it taken care of, right? But what if you didn't feel pain? And you stepped on a nail. You keep on walking. And it's the bottom of your foot, so you don't know if it's bleeding, you don't know what's happening, and next thing you know, it's infected, and maybe you have to lose your foot, maybe even your whole leg, maybe you even die. In that situation, pain, although we don't want or like pain, it's necessary. It's actually what's best for you to feel pain so that you take care of the problem. Okay? Imagine you're walking through the woods. You got your shoes on this time because you're not that crazy. You're walking through the woods, and unbeknownst to you, a poisonous snake bites you on the back of your heel, on the back of your foot. Now, if you can feel pain, what are you going to do? You're going to call 911. Hopefully, you got someone near you. You got to take care of that because that's poison, and it will hurt you, maybe even kill you. But if you can't feel pain, you just keep on walking, and in about 10 minutes, you get real dizzy, and then you fall over dead. So in those situations both, pain, although we don't want to feel it, is necessary. It's what's best for us so that we can fix what's wrong. Are you with me? In the same way, we have to feel pain. We have to feel negative consequences, we have to feel grief. Why? Because we were born into spiritual sickness. We've literally been infected by a snake bite. Anyone ever read Genesis? You've been infected by sin, and we'll look at some scripture in a moment that talks about this. But there is a poison running through your body right now spiritually. We call it sin. It's actually what we're going to be talking about for the month of September. It's the concept of sin, how to defeat it. You have to feel pain from that or you won't change. Right? If love does what's best for the other person, then what's best for us is that we feel pain. If God shielded us from the sin in our lives, we would never recognize it and we would die in our sins. Before receiving the antidote, there is an antidote that's coming. But we would die because we wouldn't know that there's a problem. Does that make sense? So God is love. That means he does what's best for the other person. And what's best for us is to feel pain to let us know there's a problem. The other reason is that God's a good father. Wait, God lets me feel pain because he's a good father? Yes. Good parents will discipline their children. What happens when a parent allows a child to do whatever they want without consequence? It turns them into a monster. Go to Walmart. Just watch for a little bit. It's terrible. Man, I've seen like kids like talk back to their parents and like they're throwing stuff, throwing like, you know, mashed potato mix and stuff. And the parent's like, oh, he's had a bad day. No, he's a bad kid. And you need to discipline that kid. Why? Because he's going to be a monster. Because he's not feeling the consequences of his bad behavior. You know this. It's the same with God, our good father. He lets us feel the repercussions of the world, the sickness, the sin all around us. He has to. Why? Because he's a good father and he's love. So again, if something bad happens to you and you think, God, you're seeing pain through the lens of your goodness, not his goodness. And so we need to be really careful that we don't get offended or upset with God when he's trying to help us. So what if bad things happen? If God is a good father, if God is love, if God is good, then why do bad things happen? There are three reasons according to Scripture. And we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about each one. Why do bad things happen? The first one, by the way, before I get into this, a lot of notes, a lot of scripture. In our church app, you can download the app. Does anyone have the app? Okay, you can download the app, go to Sundays at VFC, go to sermon notes, and they're fill in the blank notes where you can follow along all the scriptures, not just the references, the whole scriptures are like there so you can read them, okay? If you want to follow up on today's sermon on your own, study it out. Check it out. Make sure I'm not lying to you. I'm not, but you should check. You should make sure. I mean, seriously. go to the app and study it for yourself, okay? They're filling the blanks where you can keep up with the message. So the first reason, the first of three reasons that bad things happen is our bad choices. Our bad choices. This does not explain all of the pain, all of the evil, and all the bad stuff. It explains some of it. Some of it is from our bad choices. Now, I need you to grasp a concept. Some of you have heard me say this before, but for the, if you haven't, this is very, very, very important, okay? God did not create evil. Sometimes people will be, they'll say like, well, if God is good, why did he create the devil who's evil? So God didn't create evil. He doesn't have evil to create. He's all good. Evil, this is the important point. Evil is not a thing that exists, it's an absence of a thing. It's not something that was created, it's the result of something that doesn't exist. It's the best analogy for this is light and dark. If I want to make it darker in this room, I need to turn down or turn out the lights, right? Why don't I turn up the dark? You can't. It's dark is not a thing to turn up or turn down. Light is. The absence of light is what we call dark. In the same way, the absence of good, or God, because God is good, is what we call evil or bad. So God didn't create evil as a thing. What he did is he created the ability for us to choose. He created the ability for us to make decisions. And when we make decisions that don't align with God and his goodness, we are left with, just like turning out a light, we're left with darkness. We're left with bad. We're left with evil. Does that make sense? It's very important. It means you and the people around you, your choices really matter. When we turn down God, we turn down good and we're left with bad. Our decisions made apart from the wisdom of God hurt us and hurt others. It's not just our decisions either. Has anyone ever been hurt by someone else's bonehead decision? Yes, we all have, right? And so babies are born into the world addicted. Drunk driving happens and kills people. There's addiction. There's divorce. There's all sorts of bad things, evil things. And we're like, why, God? He's like, I told you what to do. I even wrote it down for you. And you made a choice. You made a decision, or someone near you made a decision, and it impacted your life in a negative way. And I'm sorry. I've already gotten rid of death for you, and I'm gonna heal you, but I can't shield you from those choices. I can only heal you from them. And so our bad decisions and the bad decisions of other people, it affects us deeply. Every one of us is good at making bad choices. Every single one of us. We are surrounded. It's like we're in a zombie movie. And people are walking around, the walking dead. They're dead on the inside. And they may be alive on the inside, but they don't know enough. And they're making bad decisions and hurting themselves and hurting other people. Guys, that's the world you live in. I'm sorry. But that's called free will. Well, then why doesn't God just eliminate free will? Like, why would he create choice if it creates harm? Because it's what's necessary for you to do what he's called you to do, which is love God and love others. What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, that's the meaning of life. I just gave you the meaning of life. If you're wondering, what's the point? What's the meaning of my existence? Love God, love people. Let's go to lunch, right? I mean, that's it. Love God, love people. That's the meaning of life. That's why you're on this earth. That's why you were born, to love God and love people. Well, here's the thing. You can't love without the ability to not love. If God took away choice, he would have to force our love, and forced love is not good. That's not intimacy. It's actually a crime to force love on someone. Right? God doesn't commit crimes. So he gives us choice. He gives us the ability to choose, the ability to decide, so that we can fulfill our mission, our destiny, our purpose, love God and love people. Free will is a two-sided coin, you guys. One side, I can love God and I can love others. The other side, I can hurt others. I can hurt myself and thereby hurt God. And you get to choose. Every day you wake up, every decision you make, you get to choose how you use your free will. Joshua 24:15 says, choose this day who you will serve. He then goes on and he says, are you going to serve the gods of your family? Are you going to serve the gods of the current culture that you live in? He goes, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? He says, choose this day whom you will serve. Now, let me just say this real quick. It's not going to be too big of a rabbit trail. There are a group of Christians whom I love dearly, but they don't believe that people have choice. is wrong. If someone starts bringing that up to you and say, well, actually, there's no choice and God determines everything that happens, just smile, nod, and change the subject as quick as you can. Because it's stupid. Because we just read scripture that says, choose this day. Why would God tell us to choose this day if you can't choose this day, right? So don't listen to that. It's garbage, okay? Scripture is full of people making choices, right? And it explains so much about the world around us. The pain in this world does not reflect on God's goodness. It reflects on our brokenness, our bad choices. It's the first reason why we experience pain and evil in this world. The second reason is our spiritual enemy. Our spiritual enemy. Guys, I know this isn't fun to talk about. There is a real entity out there who's trying to hurt you. Why? Because you bear the image of God. You're the beloved of God, and he hates God, and so he's going to attack you. That's why. Let's look at scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 through 9 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. You're not the only one, you guys. I promise. I know, look, some of you have been through some really, really, really tough stuff. But you're not alone. You're not alone. Stay alert. Watch out. There is a devil. He's real. The word Satan, you may have heard, is Hebrew. It's Satan. And it means the adversary or the opponent. Okay? So when you see Satan, it's a Hebrew word. Later, they transliterate it into Greek, Satana. Not the guitar player. That's Santana. Satana. He's not Satan. I don't think. Satana is Greek, the Greek version of the Hebrew word Satan. It means the adversary, the opposer. The word devil is diabolos in Greek, and it means the accuser. Scripture says it calls Satan, the devil, the accuser of the brethren. That means that whenever you accuse someone else, you're partaking in the ministry of Satan. Right? That's what the devil does. And so we have a spiritual enemy. Now, most people seem to either ignore or exaggerate the role of the devil in their life. Have you noticed this? Most people are like, I don't want to believe in a devil or demons. I don't like it, so I'm just going to act like it's not real. In my head, I saw SpongeBob with a rainbow. Y'all seen that? It's not real. He's like, woo, everybody loves me. No, the devil hates you, sorry. And then other people are like, well, Pastor Jamie, the devil's after me today. My TV won't work. No, you bought a crummy TV. Sister, the devil doesn't know who you are. You don't make a big enough dent in the kingdom. Right? I mean, was that harsh? Y'all were like, oh. I mean, seriously, like, most people, the devil does everything, or the devil does nothing, and according to scripture, the devil does some things. The devil does some things, and we need to be aware of that. Don't blame God for what the devil does. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are children of God, and the world around us is under the control of the evil one. I know that may mess with your theology some, but I just read the Bible to you. The whole world is under the control of the evil ones. 1 John 5:19, look it up. Check different versions. Make sure it says what I said it does. It does, but check up. So that means that everything that happens in this world is not from God, because the world is under the sway of the evil one as well. Guys, living in this world is like living in a haunted house. Think about it. You live in a world where there's like supernatural stuff. And so you have to be prepared. Don't be like Scooby-Doo and run away. Be like the Ghostbusters and whatever they did. I never saw the Ghostbusters. I wasn't allowed to watch the Ghostbusters when I was a kid, so I don't know. But whatever they did, do that, but to the devil and the demons, right? It's like you live in a haunted house. You live in an environment where there is a supernatural danger. It's the reality. Sorry. It's where you live. You're surrounded by zombies and you're in a haunted house. Okay. Just trying to bring it down to everyone's level. Okay. The third reason, this is the final reason, and we'll be done. The third reason, first is our bad choices, second is our spiritual enemy, and the third reason is our broken world. Why do bad things happen? It's not God. God is good, God is love, and God is a good father. Why is it? It's these reasons, and the third one is our broken world. Romans 8. This is a fascinating scripture. Please listen to this. It explains so much. Romans 8, 19 through 22. It says, for all creation, that's not talking about people, it's talking about the planet. Okay, and you'll see why, because in a minute it draws a distinction between people and the planet. All creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. I hope that's you. Verse 20, against its will, all creation, that's our planet, was subjected to God's curse. This is referencing Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve sinned, right, God doled out curses to man, to woman, to the snake, and also to the world. Go read it. Because of mankind's sin, the whole planet, the natural realm, was cursed. It's what we read in Genesis 3, and it's what we see here in Romans 8. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Y'all, this planet is decaying. Did y'all know that? Just try leaving something out for a while. It's not going to be nice in 2 years. It's going to be like decrepit and old. It's just our planet's devolving. It's decaying. And so it says, the scripture says, but that's going to change. Just like we're decaying and we're growing old and in our way to death, God has overcome death, not only for you, but for this whole planet. Isn't that cool? All right, it keeps going. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. All creation, the planet, the created stuff around you, it's been groaning. Now, it says groaning as in pains of childbirth. Now, I've seen childbirth. There was way more than groaning. There was some screaming. All right? What's it saying? It says the earth is sick with sin, just like humanity is. And just like sick humanity screams out in pain, the sick earth screams out in pain. That means that earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, all natural disasters aren't acts of God. They are results of sin, according to scripture. Are your insurance company will call something an act of God? Right, they're wrong. They didn't read Romans 8. It's the result of sin, not an act of God. Neither are genetic disorders, viruses, contagions, infections. These are not acts of God. They are results of sin. Now, please hear me. This is important. There's not a one-to-one punishment of sin. So if you get a cold, it's not like, oh, I must have told a lie, right? It's not, God's not flinging stuff at people because they did something wrong. Because I see a lot of people who do a lot of stuff wrong and there's no flinging going on. And then I see people who are righteous people and they got a lot of stuff flung at them. So there's not a one-to-one correlation between an individual's specific sin and then a specific recompense or discipline because of that. What we see instead is we see in a general sense, there's a general allowance of sin, sickness, and death because of the general existence of sin. Are you with me? Does that make sense? It's not one-to-one. It's a general idea. All these things are the result, a natural result of a fallen world. So not only do you live among zombies. Not only do you live in a haunted house, but you live in a condemned house. This world is passing away. It's broken. Isn't that fun? But it explains a lot, doesn't it? God, why do bad things happen? Because of our bad choices, because of our spiritual enemy, and because of our broken world. That's why bad things happen. God, why don't you stop it? Because I need you to feel the pain so that you know something's wrong, so that you'll come to me. That's why. This world is not a safe place. Here's the good news. God has rescued us from it. God didn't always shield us from bad things, but he will heal us from them, either in this life or in the life to come. Do you know, again, I was looking at stats. I shared this during worship. You know, 62 people have reported to us they received divine immediate healing in their bodies this year. Halfway through 2021, 6 months in, 62 people. Isn't that amazing? God's good. He redeems. Just like we would throw a drowning man a lifesaver, God has sent his son Jesus to rescue and redeem us from this broken world. Romans 8:28, you guys have heard this before, but hopefully it takes on some new meaning. It says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say we know that God causes everything. It says we know that God causes everything to work for good. Our choices, our enemy, and our broken world causes a lot of the bad stuff. Actually, all of the bad stuff is one of those three things. And God is causing it all to work for our good. And he's literally removed death from us. Like, the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is you go be with Jesus forever. Boo-hoo. Right? I mean, isn't that amazing? We get to be with him forever. Well, what about this life? He's working in this. Let's pray. Let's help one another. But let's also look forward to a future day when God's going to redeem it completely and totally. Look, anything bad that happens to me, God's going to make it good. You need to believe that. Anything bad that happens to you, God's going to make it good. If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. Come on, declare your deliverance in the face of pain and evil and bad stuff. Come on, believe God's goodness. And recognize that these three things cause a lot of grief. It does. But God has overcome. And my question to you is this. Are you letting God deliver you from evil? Are you letting him deliver you from evil? Are you just living among the zombies? You living in the haunted house, the condemned house? And I don't know why it's falling apart. It's a condemned house. I don't know why these people hurt me. Because they're zombies. They're not even believers. And the believers are still trying to figure out how to act like Christ. And they hurt you. But God's going to make it all good one day. And I believe he's going to make it good in the land of the living too. But we got to believe him. And we got to figure out what his word says. And we got to continue to contend for healing and deliverance and God's goodness in our lives. But what about you? Come on, what about you? Are you letting God deliver you from evil? Let's stand for prayer. Our next elephant next week, we're going to talk about one of the most controversial theological topics in Christianity, which is speaking in tongues. So it's going to be fun. You will not be required to speak in tongues at the service, I promise, okay? But we're going to leave what we've been taught. We're just going to abandon it for a moment, and we're going to look to Scripture and see what Scripture actually says, okay? It's going to be good. Close your eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit this question. Am I letting you, Lord, deliver me from evil? Am I using wisdom in this broken world among people making bad choices? Am I not paying attention to the fact that there's a devil? Am I just getting involved with witchcraft and the occult and just like, oh, it's no big deal. It's a big deal. Holy Spirit, tell me about me in this moment. Come on. What's that thought you feel when you ask that question to him? Are you letting God deliver you from evil? Or are you blaming God for evil? Are you passively sitting there hoping he just intervenes somehow? Or are you reading his word? Figuring out how to be an overcomer in this life. Come on, where are you? I want to lead you in a prayer where we let the Lord teach us in this area of our lives. If you will, pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I declare you are good. You are love. And you're a good father. But that means this world around me is broken. I'm broken by sin. And I have an enemy. So I need your help, God. I give you permission to teach me how to respond to the bad things in this world. I don't want to blame you. I want to learn from you. You are my salvation. You are my rescue. So I run to you. I give you permission to do whatever you want in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, once again, thanks for listening to the VFC podcast. If you live in the Thomasville area, we would love for you to connect with us in person. For more information about our weekly gatherings, including service times and directions, just visit us at vfcthomasville.org.